following the sermon this morning, I want to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2 at verse 11. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 11. Verses 11 and 12 and 13 is a great message for us. It might have seemed that after this morning, all we can do is sin and we got a problem. And that's true. We do have a sin problem. Everybody does. But there's another side to this equation. There is the side that talks to us about some faithful saying that we should pay attention to. And it's recorded here in these verses. 2 Timothy chapter 2 at verse 11. Paul even writes, "This is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself." There's a lot in that. Just three verses. I want to talk tonight about dying and living, about enduring and living, and about denial and faithlessness and faithfulness. It is important that we take all Scripture in its context, and this one has a lot to say to us about our following Christ and our closer walk with God. So I wanted to talk about that a little bit tonight. Dying and living, the first thing he says is a faithful saying, if we died with him, we shall also live with him. Have you died with Christ? Well, you have if you were baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, died with him in likeness of his death, burial, resurrection, died to sins, buried in watery tomb, and was raised to walk in newness of life. We have died with him in that respect. In Romans chapter 6, verses 2 and 3, Paul would put it this way, "How shall we who died to sin any longer live in it?" And it's a mark of the Christian lifestyle that we don't live in sin. Yes, we do sin occasionally, but we don't live in a sinful manner all day, every day, as is the manner of some. He goes on to say that he says, "How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death?" We have, as has been said already, died with him through this means of baptism. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 3, the same Paul would say, "For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Now, those words might not mean a whole lot until we dig into them. Our life is hidden in Christ with God. How is your life hidden in Christ or hidden with Christ? Because you've come into his likeness through that obedience factor. You are a priest and king. We'll see scriptures in a moment that tell us that. We are priestly and kingly critters, beings who have been made priests and kings through this obedience to our brother and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. If you've died with Christ, and the consequence or that other side of that thing is that you shall also live with him. If we have died with him, we will live with him. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, Paul said, Romans chapter 6, verses 8 and 9. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. He defeated death. He defeated death for you and I because we will never die being the priests and kings that we have been designated. We will never die if we live according to God's will for us in our life. We will never die for eternity. We will live. But it takes dying with him in order to live. That's the dichotomy of it. Paul said an interesting thing in this line in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. You probably know the verse. "So I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless it is I who live, or not I who live, but Christ who lives in me." Turn over there with me. Let's look at that verse just a second. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Does this verse describe you is an important question. Hopefully it does. Galatians 2 at verse 20, "I have been crucified with Christ, It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live, now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Are we truly living by faith? Or are we still living the old worldly way by sight? Paul said we should live by faith, not by sight. If we have died with him, we can live with him now and then through all eternity. It's a faithful saying. If we died with him, we shall also live with him. The next part of the verse in 2 Timothy chapter 2, if we endure with him, we shall also reign with him. Endurance, the same thing as steadfastness. The result is being blessed to reign with Christ. Now, Joe talked about that reigning with Christ this morning in the Bible class in Revelation chapter 20. It's a chapter of Revelation that's most misused, as he made mention this morning, for this millennial reign idea of the premillennialist, that we'll reign with Christ for 1,000 years on planet Earth when he returns. And as he pointed out this morning, nowhere in that chapter or that context does it say anything about Christ coming back to earth to reign for 1,000 years. But yet we do reign with Christ even now. I want you to turn with me to Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9 and 10. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. Revelation 5, verse 9, and they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll. This is in the scene where Jesus is the only one worthy to take the scroll from the hand of God. In verse 8, it says, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and a golden bowl full of incense and their prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God. Kings and priests reign. Kings and priests reign with God, with Christ in God. And we shall reign on earth, the last verse, or last part of that verse says, and we shall reign on earth. Some translations say, and they shall reign on earth. The idea of this word reign is in the Greek word present tense. It's not a future tense. Sometimes we read that, and we shall reign, like that shall will be in the future. It was written in the context of present tense. We now reign. We shall reign. In other words, we shall because of what Jesus has done, defeated death, redeemed us, etc., and we shall reign on earth with him. And again, that's written in present tense. So it's even the case as now, we reign with him. Don't need to wait on a millennial situation or when Christ returns, because as we understand the rest of the scriptures, Christ will not return to this earth for a millennial reign. Be caught up together in the air at that point. Not that he'll ever set foot back here, but if the context says we reign with him, then we're reigning now on earth as kings and priests. What else can we say? Does that describe your attitude about your life in Christ? Do you feel like a king or a priest? We understand the Old Testament to be types and shadows, types and antitypes. The priest and the tabernacle were the only ones who could come before God and offer blessings for the people and offer sacrifices to God for the people. Who does that for you today? It's not a priest. It's not some third party. We ourselves can go before the Master. We ourselves can go to God through Jesus the Son and make supplications and make requests and make prayers and ask and talk with him directly through the Son. We do the job in that respect that the priest used to do for Israel. So in likeness, we've become priests and we reign with him. Someone said in one the critical and the exegetical handbook written by H.A.W. Meyer says in this regard to this verse in Revelation, it was a perversion to change the present into the future. In other words, we pervert it when we understand we reign with him sometime yet to come. That is a present tense context. So we reign with him right now. And I guess maybe no other verse says it better than 1 Peter chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2 at verse 9, Peter talks about this reigning. 1 Peter chapter 2 at verse 9. But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. There it is. A holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. In the context there, the chosen stone and his chosen people, Jesus, the foundation stone and the building of the church or the building of the body with this royal priesthood. Can't be a priesthood if we're not priests. So God sees you and I as priests. We are a royal priesthood right now, reigning with Christ. The next thing was talked about in 2 Timothy verse that we started with is denial. Have you denied Christ? If you deny him, he will also deny us. The Jews denied the Christ, the Holy One and Righteous One. Go back in Acts chapter 3 and John 1:11. We know it's true that many, many, many of the Jewish folks of that day denied that Jesus was the Messiah. They just didn't see it or believe it. And in 2 Peter chapter 2 at verse 1, Peter would write, but there are also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them and bring on themselves swift destruction. It's a matter of destruction, spiritual destruction, to deny that Jesus is the Son of God. But yet people still do. And as Paul wrote to Timothy, we deny him, he denies us. The importance of that is he denies us before the Father. We'll deny him before men by our behavior, actions, our speech, the way we live, some people. And he'll deny us before the Father. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Remember that phrase from Matthew 7. Jude would write, for certain men have crept in unnoticed. This was going on in the body of Christ in the church during that day. Certain men have crept in unnoticed who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. People were denying him back then. They deny him still today. But who would deny him even like Peter did? I don't know him, he said three times. Didn't mean to, but he did. Sometimes by our behavior, or by our speech, or by our actions, we all but deny the Christ. And we should never claim that so in our lives. But if we deny him, he will deny us. Matthew 10, verse 32. Jesus' words himself. Let's look at them. Matthew 10, verse 32. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. Jesus himself said, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. Verse 33, but whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. What a catastrophe for the Son of God to say, I don't know that one. None of us want to hear that on Judgment Day. None of us want to even think that Jesus would deny ourselves before the Father. Don't you want him proclaiming you to the Father? I know this one. This one did well. This one did good. Instead of, I never knew you. But if we deny him, he'll deny us. Which brings us to the last point about faithfulness. Have we continually been and do we continue to be faithful? If we are unfaithful, Paul wrote to Timothy, he remains faithful. And in that, it just simply means it doesn't matter what we do. Whether we're faithful or not, Jesus will always be faithful. He cannot deny himself. He cannot deny his sonship, his Christness. He cannot deny himself as the Messiah because it's not in him to do so. He remains faithful no matter what we do. Have you ever been unfaithful to Christ? The church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2. Demas left Paul to go back into the world. Many, many times we read about churches, congregations, individuals in the scripture that denied and were unfaithful. Judas was unfaithful. He thought he was doing the right thing for 30 pieces of silver. Was unfaithful. Talked about Peter, talked about others. And regardless of how we act, Jesus cannot be anything but faithful. Faithful to himself, faithful to God, faithful to us, and faithful to his word. Let's hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Hebrews 10 and verse 23. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Hebrews 11, verse 11. He's promised to bless the righteous, Matthew 25, 34. He's promised to punish the disobedient, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. He cannot be any way but faithful to his word and himself. No matter what we do, no matter what we think, no matter what we say, no matter what men teach or don't teach. Have you died with Christ? Have you been faithful to Christ? Have you denied him, been unfaithful? These are those things that we talked about this morning where we need to make sure we supplicate ourselves before God and asking for forgiveness for those things. It may be that you at times have denied him, at times been unfaithful, but now you've turned that around. Have you asked for forgiveness for those things? And see, sometimes when they are in our past history, we don't want to bring things like that up, especially if it's something maybe we forgot to ask forgiveness for. But it's an important verse that Paul wrote to Timothy. And it's all about being faithful to him who can be no other way but faithful. That's your lesson for the evening. The song that's been chosen, song number 679, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus. And one reason it's so sweet to trust in Jesus is because he is faithful.